Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert. Today is Tuesday, April 30th, 2019. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and on Podbean, the host site. If you like this show, please rate and review it on Apple Podcasts and or Stitcher. Give it a 5-star review. Let everyone know why you like it, because it will make me feel good about myself and most of the life decisions that I've made so far. You can email the show at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. Let me know what's on your mind. More importantly, what's on your heart. You can like the show on Facebook. You can follow it on Twitter at Mundane Festival. And you can follow me, your host, the guy talking to you right now, on Twitter at Chris Lambert. This is episode 349. I have a super special guest, Bossa from the Hot Firestarter podcast. We shot the shit, talked a little bit about some movies and some TV shows, and just kicked it a little bit. I'm going to share that conversation with you in a bit. Right now, podcast is late. I'm sorry about that, folks, but it's for a good reason. We got you a great guest and working on something very special for all of you that I can't talk about yet, but I will let you know. You'll find out sooner or later. So I'm sitting here. I got off work and just recorded with Bossa, last week was pretty fun. I got to do another thing that I can't. I worked on a TV show. I got an acting job. I did some acting work, and had a small part in a thing, and it was all day. I didn't even get to eat the breakfast, my special breakfast. I didn't even get to eat. They made, you know, sometimes on set they'll make you like you can get whatever you want, and I got this Western omelet that I didn't even get to eat. And we went right to set. We did rehearsals. And it was a big, like a courtroom scene. It was really fucking cool. And we did it. It was initially supposed to be for 2 days, but we only shot for one, but they paid us for 2 days. So that was cool. So we got it all done. So it was like, went from, I got there at 6 and left at 6. And was there all day. And it was so cool. One, it was like I was working with some actors where it was like, if you look them up on, you see them in person, you meet them and stuff, and you look at their IMDb, you're like, holy shit, you were in this, you were in that, you were in this. And then to be up close watching them work the way that they were working, it was just like, it was kind of like, it's basically a scene that was mainly exposition to a certain degree. I had a line, and but just to watch them go on and on, like to over and over so many times, like Marshawn Lynch, over and 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 over, you know, just to watch that was great, to see them like do their thing. And did that. That was cool. TPS reports at work. This past weekend, I did some shows. I did a show on Friday night called Shtick a Pole in It. I did it at this place called Drum. It was like my second time. I think it was my second time doing it. It's a show where it's a stand-up show, and they have these like beautiful girls pole dance. And it was cool. Produced by Dan Goodman and Joanna Ross. And they're really sweet and really funny and nice. And doing the show, and so it's stand up, and you see these hot girls doing their thing. And there was a couple times where some of the comics, myself included, would tell like a certain joke, and they would get tight, like they were puritanical. Like, it's like, what the fuck is this? You're watching beautiful women and scantily clad women dance on a pole, but you get tight about a fucking joke. And then I said, like, close to the end of my set, I was like, oh yeah, I'm in the city, I'm like in the East Village, okay, yeah. And I kind of bailed on a joke because I was like, all right, this isn't working with you guys. Part of it's me with that. I don't think I'm doing the joke right. I don't know if I'm going to. It's like doing a bit that's like it's got legs and you've seen it work. It worked like hard. It hit hard like two times before. And I tried to bring it back. And I don't know. I did it. I had three shows. This past weekend, I did that show Friday, opened for Jim Florentine at Lucy's Laugh Lounge in Pleasantville. And it was just kind of, did I do it there? I don't know if I did it there. And then I did like a late, that was cool. But the thing about that show, it's cool to get to open for a guy like Jim Florentine. But there was like some bachelorette party or a bachelor party that people were just, they were just trashed. And it was kind of a fight, but I got through it, and I got my jokes off, and that was fun. And then I made my triumphant return to Levity Live and did the showcase, closed out the showcase that they had up there, and I got on stage. I think I got on stage at like 11:45 at night, and it was just like, I think the crowd had had enough. Like, there were a lot of comics on the show. And it was just like, I think there were like five comics. Everybody did like 20 minutes, I think, 18 minutes. And by the time I got up there, I was like, you guys got enough for one more? And I did do that joke. And I got them kind of. And it's just like, I don't know. I think it's just me. I gotta figure some shit out about that bit. But overall, it was a fun weekend, and I got to do stand-up. I got to live my dream, and it was so cool. So that was fun. And I did get Days Gone for PS4. I pre-ordered it, and I played it for about, I think, like an hour. At least a little under an hour. The critics trashed this game. It's like mediocre. It's like let me see what it is on Metacritic. Shit. Sorry about that. Days Gone. Let me see. Days Gone. Let's see what it is on Metacritic. 72% on Metacritic, 3.5 out of 5 on Games Radar, which I've never heard of. GameSpot, 5 out of 10. So usually for a PlayStation exclusive, if it's not like an 8 or a 9, then people are like, that's fucking trash. But it's okay. I think the thing with me, what I fucked up with was the fact that I didn't... I started playing God of War, and I'm nowhere near beating God of War. I'm maybe a quarter, maybe less than a quarter of a way in to God of War. I've just started to do like whatever the time warp thing is in that. And God of War is a beautiful game. I think what happened, and I've probably mentioned this, so maybe if you do a drinking game with this podcast, maybe you'll get trashed in this intro. So I bought God of War and Detroit Become Human at the same time. And I played Detroit Become Human. I beat that. And then Spider-Man came out and I got that. And then I got 2K, but that doesn't really count. I got another game. I got The Last Guardian, then Tomb Raider, and I beat Tomb Raider. I think the last time I had played, wow, no, is that right? May? Was I, God, like that was like May when I got God of War. Yeah, it was. It was like April or late April or early May. Yeah. Anyway, and I hadn't played it since then. And so I picked it up last week and was was playing with it, and it was it's really good. Like, everybody says it's amazing. I'm not saying any. I'm saying what everybody's been telling you for over a year about that game, but it's really good, and I've gotten locked into those controls. And to get on Days Gone, it's a little awkward, but cinematically, like, the game is cool. Like, I fuck with it. It's fine, you know. It's right now, it's a placeholder for The Last of Us Part Two, because once that comes out, that's all that I'm gonna care about. Not just in life, but I'm saying, like, that's the only video game I'm really gonna care about. And then Madden 19 was like $11 on PlayStation Network, so I did buy that. And so that's all that I'm, like, as far as like recreational shit, like, that'll keep me busy. And it doesn't mean that I'm gonna be playing. I got one of my buddies got on me, one of my comedy friends, like, you don't need a video game, you have time. But it's how I relax, okay? All right. So I think that's enough of me blabbing. Let's get to my conversation with Bassa. We set this up to talk about Fast Color, the Gugu and Botha Raw movie that came out about 2 weeks ago, and it's not in the theaters anymore. And we're going to talk about that, which we did. And then we just started shooting the shit and vibing out. And we talked about Endgame. So if you have not seen Avengers Endgame, we spoil it. It's light spoilers. No, we do spoil. We spoil it. Okay. So if you have not seen the movie, and you get to the point where I ask Ba what he thinks about the movie, stop listening for maybe 10 or 15 minutes. And then don't. I don't know what it is with people that feel like they have to spoil shit on the internet. A show like Game of Thrones, which I don't watch, which I still had fun looking at people with this Winterfell, with this Battle of Winterfell. It was still kind of cool because I had an idea of what happened and what a character did and stuff. And I thought that was cool. I liked the fact that people were partying over it. But a show like that, which is worldwide, people love that show, and they're going to spoil it. So unless you mute people on Twitter or something, I don't know how you're going to get through that. But a movie like Endgame, I didn't want to spoil. Like, I don't. Usually I'm at the point where I don't like to spoil shit for people. And people were trying to get me to spoil it at work. I was like, no, I'm not telling you. I'm not going to tell you, because you're not going to enjoy the movie. It's going to take away the fun you're going to have. That's like when I was talking about The Last Guardian and the fact that I knew the ending before I started playing it, you know. So with this, it's more fun, because one of my coworkers was like, oh, tell me, I don't care, you know, and I don't care. I was like, nope, I'm not. And I'm not going to tell you. And then she came back. She came to work yesterday and was like, I saw it. I really loved it. I was like, see, aren't you glad that I didn't spoil it for you? And she was like, yeah, you're right. So I don't know why people get their rocks off by spoiling stuff for people on Twitter. One dude got beat up in Hong Kong somewhere for spoiling the movie at the movie theater. And they beat his ass, put him in the hospital. Yeah, man, it's not good. So enough of me blabbing. Let's get to my conversation with Ba. We shoot the shit. Ba is on the Hot Fire Starter podcast, one of my favorite podcasts to listen to, and definitely going to have him back to talk about, maybe Indie Movie Corner is back now. If I can, get him back on, maybe we'll have it back on Patreon. Let's do this. Let's get to my conversation with Ba. Enjoy it, folks. All right, cool. All right. So, usually we start off by talking about what we're watching before we review the movie. So is there anything that you're currently into right now that you're watching that you like, that you recommend?
Yeah, I mean, I have my my staple shows for Sunday night.
Sure.
And that's, you know, the entire HBO Showtime lineups. So Veep, The Chi, yeah. Game of Thrones, Barry, all that.
Yeah.
Every last one of them. And then there's some stuff I've kind of stumbled onto on Netflix. I liked All American.
That was great. I really loved that show. It's just like, it's good to see black people in a show that's like a CW show that's kind of soapy.
Right.
It's just fun. I recorded the games people play on BET. I haven't watched that yet, but I'm probably going to bank a few episodes with what's the guy that was messing with. Did you watch Insecure at all?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm mad it's not coming back this year.
Yeah. Well, Issa's a star now, so you know.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. What's the tall guy
I don't the light skinned dude.
Yeah, the light skinned dude is supposed to be playing some ball player or something like that.
Yeah, I just saw a promo for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That looks interesting.
That looks like something I'll skip. And I'll wait for people to tell me it's pretty good.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know.
Yeah, I think I'm just gonna bank some.
They haven't grabbed me with any of their original content, so
I had to,
probably because they took so long to do it. I have no faith that they'll get any of it right. So
I'm trying to think.
I kind of wait to hear about BET original content.
I feel you. And I'm kind of bitter about what they did to me with Teen Summit. So I could take could care less. And
When were you on Teen Summit? Were you on Teen Summit?
I was not on it, but I was. Okay. I auditioned twice. And did not get in. But I was on the show. I asked Shannon Briggs a question. This is like,
okay.
I was an audience member, and I think, God, Rosie Perez was on there, and Shannon Briggs, and maybe Question Mark Asylum. Do you remember those dudes?
Of course.
Yeah, like, that's fucking old. I don't think I've uttered Question Mark Asylum in 20 years, but hey, they were pretty cool back then.
So you probably know my boy Damon.
Damon, what's his last name? Oh, well, I guess we can't say it,
but it's Gordon. I don't think he'll care.
I don't know. Maybe if I saw his face, I would. I might.
Yeah.
It's a lot. We probably know a lot of people.
Cat.
Yeah.
I think Damon went to Banneker. I'm not sure, though.
I do know a dude that went to Banneker, and they used to, you know that show, It's Academic?
Mm-hmm.
Banneker would just murder everybody. I wanted to be
For real?
Yeah, I would with Mac McGarry. He would come on. I guess he would come on before the Saturday morning shows, like Hang Time and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that would come on before all that. And every time Banneker was on, they would just kill everybody because they were so smart.
They asked me to to join the It's Academic team in my high school.
Uh-huh.
I said, fuck no, y'all about to get massacred and embarrassed. And sure enough, it happened. And everybody came back Monday looking at me like I was an ass. So my history teacher
was mad at
me. I think
it
was third period. Yeah, she was hot. I was like, look, I wasn't going to help. Bunch of idiots at this school.
Oh, man. Where'd you go?
Have talent.
Do you say Easter. Where you, East? Okay.
Yeah, you gotta have talent. We lacked it.
I think some of our kids were like paper champs. Like they would get the grades because of who they were. And it's not like they weren't smart, but when it came
to a lot of kids get grades because they put in extra work and FaceTime with the teachers.
Yeah. Yeah. And
'cause a lot of that shit is on a metric that has nothing to do with actual ability.
Right.
Like some kids I was with in AP English, their essays were trash.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, that's subjective.
Right. That's true.
You know, like the teacher's going to give you a good grade.
Yeah. So,
yeah, man. A lot of people who are smart, you know, in school are just, Yeah, I don't give a lot of credence to it.
Yeah, I just kind of, I don't know. Like, I finished in the National Honor Society and all that stuff, but I wasn't a great test taker when it came to the standardized test. So, like,
that's the only way I got by, man.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I like the test. I'm like, man, get these fucking teachers out of my face because they don't don't like me. They tried to hold me back 1 year.
What?
And yeah, I literally got the highest test scores in the school. And, you know, my mom came up there and looked the teacher in the face like motherfucking Deadwood. Didn't even say anything for like 5 minutes. It was just a stare down. Like, bitch, you tried it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, summer school, and he got the highest test score. Like, I don't give a fuck. He got all Fs. Back then, I think it was a U for unsatisfactory. Because I was really young. But, yeah. Yes. Yeah, me and teachers didn't get along. Every now and then, I found a teacher who, you know, was on my wavelength. But for the most part, no.
Yeah.
I was an asshole, though.
I was kind of like, I kind of just didn't give a shit after junior year. Like, senior year, I was kind of ready to go. I was just ready
to... I stopped going to school in senior year pretty much after the holidays, no lie.
Oh, wow.
I showed up after a few months. I would show up to take tests. Mm-hmm. I showed up for graduation exercise, and everybody thought I had quit school because I was kind of a loner, but my friends knew where I was, and they were telling people, like, nah, he around. But yeah, I would just stay in the house and fucking write and watch music videos pretty much.
Yeah. I just was kind of pissed. They wouldn't let me on its academic team. They put me on the Black Pursuits team that didn't go on NBC. We went on like whatever the Maryland public television channel was. And we got our ass kicked because everybody was just shook. And I think I was the only one. I was like LeBron in Cleveland. Just like, we were just like,
tried to carry him down.
Yeah, in 07. Like, just like, we just got murked. And,
oh, shit.
And then we went to BET Soundstage after. So that was pretty neat. But
yeah,
other than that,
that's
yeah.
hilarious.
Like, yeah.
See, but that's what it was going to be with me. And I was like, I can't do anything. Like, there's mm-hmm. no. Yeah. I mean, sound like at least you had a Mo Williams. I didn't have that.
It was people that were like, they were smarter than me, but when the lights came on, like, it was a different story. And it's just like those pressure situations. Shit, this damn near like going to be a regular episode. We'll get to this movie, but you know, I was thinking, because those TV shows, you know, we were talking when I was on you guys' show, like, you, I think we're slowly starting to see like these more black shows that are like prime time. And I think All American did get picked up for a second season.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Cause that's one of the new, that's actually my favorite. That was one of my God Friended Me and All American is what were my two favorite shows of this past season. And and that kid, the black kid, the kid that's leading the main kid is a Brit. He ain't even from here.
Oh, I should have guessed that.
Like the homie from Snowfall.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're taking our jobs, man.
He's a bit too hard, dog. So I should have guessed he wasn't like American.
He's too hard, like
he a little too hard with the blackness. So it's like, it's definitely someone's interpretation of a young black American.
Yeah.
So yeah, I knew something was off. I was like, fuck. Like, I'm thinking, which state is he from? Because I was like, yo, he not from LA. Like, he's just not. And I'm like, where the fuck they find this kid? Because I'd never seen him anywhere. Yeah.
Daniel Ezra.
Yeah. He's good, though.
Yeah, he is.
He sucks. But it was just, I was just trying to pin where he was from.
Yeah.
But yeah, last point on that, the wife is terrible.
The wife?
I don't know where she, Tay Diggs' wife. I don't know which show she was from, but she was in something when she was younger because I remember that face.
Monet Mazur. I'm looking her up now.
And she was terrible then.
She was in.
So she grew up to be terrible.
They didn't really give her an arc for me to really even notice because it was just like she was mad at Taye Diggs because he cheated a long time ago or some shit. And that's about it. What else was she on? Mystery Men, Torque, 40 Days and 40 Nights, House Bunny. She did a guest spot on Chuck. I'm trying to see. Yeah, she's in the.
She wasn't on a series like back in the early 2000s or late 90s.
She did. She was in Days of Our Lot, but that's early 90s.
No, that she'd have been really young, I think.
She's like 40, 43? She's born in 76. What is that, 42?
Yeah. Okay. That could have been Days of Our Lives. Shit.
93. So she's like 17. She probably was like a teenager when that was going on.
Yeah.
She's been in a lot of stuff, but I don't really remember her. Some show called Dark Blue, NCIS Los Angeles, but she was in Castle.
Okay.
3 episodes. Hmm.
Nah, I wouldn't have remembered that.
I think,
but anyway, she's not great.
What did you think? Hopefully, you said, go ahead.
I just, you know, hopefully they'll give her more to do.
Yeah. So what did you catch that last episode of Barry, the latest one?
Hell yeah, dog. That shit was great. It was, you know, I think, my dog, you know, KB, Kenny Bad from the show.
Sure.
He tweeted first and then someone followed up. No, I said, I'm about to watch it. And I think Charmaine said, yeah, it's great. And then you followed up. Yeah. I was like, let me get on this shit.
Yeah, that shit was crazy.
And, dog, the little girl was hilarious. I never watched like the after show, like when they're talking.
Okay.
But I needed to know what was up with this little girl. So did you hear them talk about the backstory about how they found her and stuff?
No, I didn't speak on
like
it.
She was a friend. She was a friend of, I think one of the writers or producers on the show, knew of a guy who was actually, a martial artist.
Yeah.
And he was like talking up his daughter, like, yeah, she's awesome, man. Like blah, blah, blah. Like if y'all ever get, you know, a time where she fits, you know, keep her in mind. And, you know, they kept her in mind because, what's his name? Shit. Who's the star of the show? I forgot.
Oh,
what's his name?
Shit. Now you're making me forget. Oh, fuck.
I know. I hate when people do that.
Jesus. Okay. I'm going to look it up. No, we're going to get it. Wow. That's bad.
I know.
Oh my God. I'm too young for this.
Face is right in my mind's eye too.
Bill Hader.
Hader, yeah.
Jesus.
So Hader was like, I always wanted to do, like, you know, a contract goes wrong episode,
mm-hmm.
where it's just like, you know, wall to wall, like, we fucked up, we have to undo this.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. It was just like, it was a mess, man.
Yeah.
And when Main Man put the super glue on his back, man, I lost my shit. I was crying like that actor always makes me laugh, man.
Steven
Root. He just has a funny ass face. Yeah, what's his name? Steven what?
Steven Root.
He's funny.
Yeah,
he's funny.
He was in the first thing I remember him was Milton from Office Space, the stapler dude.
Oh yeah, that is him.
Yeah. Yeah, man, that was a crazy episode.
He gives me Rip Torn vibes a lot.
Rip Torn.
I don't know why.
If he kept his shit together a little more.
Yeah, like, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah, that was.
But yeah, that's hilarious.
I don't think he's ever going to get caught. I don't think he, like, I don't think he's going to. I don't know. It just seems like he's going to just skate by until the end of the series, unless he dies.
The story is kind of dictating it's going to be up to the people he's established healthy relationships with. And that's his girlfriend.
Yeah.
Don't know her name. And Henry Winkler.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know his character's name.
Gene.
Yeah.
Gene and Sally. Sally's the girlfriend. Gene is the teacher.
Yeah. So you're used to this. You listen to our show. Yeah. I don't know people's names.
I'm the same way. I have to look up. I go to like, while I'm IMDb. Talking. Yeah, I'll just go to IMDb or search or some shit. I don't try to act like, yeah. Well, I'll be like, what the fuck is it? I'm looking it up and it's that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, man, like, I think it's going to come down to they're going to find out and either they're going to try to fix him or like, yo, like you wreaked a lot of havoc. Like you need to spend some time in jail or mental institution.
Yeah. Yeah. It's but a,
interesting I think he's show. Going to get caught,
mm-hmm.
you know, air quotes.
Sure.
But not by authorities.
Ah, okay. I wonder how long they can string this out. How long do you think they could let this go? This show, just.
Oh, probably 4 seasons.
Yeah. What are they doing? 8 or 10 episodes? Let's see what they.
I think they do. I'm not sure. I think they do 10.
Okay.
And yeah. I don't think. I heard them talking about this in the promo for episode 1. Like they were doing a set of interviews.
Sure.
And I don't think she's dead. The cop he killed.
Really? You don't think she's dead?
For some reason, no, man. Like
I think she's gone, you
know. I don't know.
That's why I'm kind of like, I don't
get right. It might be so obvious, like, of course she's gone, but I don't know, like, for them to even address it, because Hader was like, you know, when they started writing season 2, everybody was like, well, what do you think happened to her? Like, where do you think we should go from here?
Mm-hmm.
And everyone just kind of busted out laughing, like, of course she's dead. But he left some room there, and I'm like, yo, like, why are they even addressing this? Because I wasn't even fucking thinking about it. Of course she's dead. Now I'm like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, because I'm just kind of like, I don't give a fuck. I like the show, but you killed a black woman, so I don't give a fuck what happens to you. So it's just like, let the chips fall where they may, but then he's still on the skin of his teeth. Because I thought I'm probably going to have to watch that episode again. It was funny, but the whole time, it was just really, I was kind of tensed up. I was like, what the fuck? Is he going to get out of this? You know, so yeah, that's a good show. Have you ever, yeah. Do you have Hulu?
No, I had it for a while. I actually canceled it maybe 3 months ago.
Okay. Yeah. I've been watching that show, The Act. You know, they did a dramatization of, I don't know if you know this, Mommy Dead and Dearest on HBO. The mom.
I think I heard about this.
Yeah. It's like this mother has this like Munchausen syndrome, where she treats her daughter, she makes her daughter sick
right.
so she can take care of her.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And Shorty finds out that she's not sick and she's not, she's old, much older than she right. thought she was.
Yep.
And yeah. this is
I
like,
saw the I saw the documentary on that.
Yeah. So this is the dramatization of it. It's really good. It's like Patricia Arquette is like two
oh,
for two
okay.
playing shitty moms, just shitty people.
Yeah.
And she, and then it was an episode with her and Margot Martindale as the mother. I don't know if you ever watched Justified.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The woman who was the big bad, where she was making that apple pie whiskey or moonshine or whatever.
Okay.
You know her if you saw her.
Right.
But it's like them together, like you can see why like she became shitty. You know, basically,
yeah,
it's like an episode, like I think it's like episode maybe 4 or 5, and I was like, fuck, and right. Yeah, so that's really good. And I've been watching, I don't know what it is, but I think as I get older, I need some of these like very saccharine, very like standardized sitcoms, like it's very. I watched the Damon Wayans joint that got canceled. What the hell was that? Happy Together. I watched the.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, CBS. I'm watching CBS sitcoms, dude.
Wow.
I don't know what it is. Give me my AARP card, man. You know, it's just something that's just like, it's pleasant. And I think Damon Wayans Jr. is super talented. I don't think he's ever, I don't know that, I just think like.
You know, I was actually thinking about him either yesterday or this morning, because I saw my man who did Let's Be Cops with him.
Yes.
And he's in something. And I'm like, what the fuck did Damon Wayans Jr. do? Because first of all, that movie should have gotten a sequel. I talked about this on our show. Like,
it was funny.
That movie should have gotten a sequel. That shit did close to like 100 million.
Wow.
And yeah, it did 138. It did pretty well. Huh?
It did 138 million.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Wow.
And so they fucked both of them over by not just elevating their star status. I was like, who the fuck is their agents? And I understood, like, he had the Zooey Deschanel show going on. So I guess he was busy. But actually, both of them were kind of doing it. And Damon Wayans Jr. was on the other show on ABC, which I love.
That shit was funny as fuck.
Man, that shit was great.
They had
and his chemistry with the girl who played his wife on there was excellent.
Mm-hmm. Happy endings.
You know, happy ending. And she's underutilized like crazy, too.
Right.
Just in the industry. Like, I don't see her in a lot of stuff, and she's a really good comedic actress. But yeah, they don't give Damon Wayans Jr. any parts, dude. He's doing like trash shit for him.
Yeah, it's like I think I remember him saying Eliza Coop played his wife in Happy Endings. Yeah, by the way.
Yeah, she's really good.
Yeah, he's just like, I think he's really talented, and you put him in these things, it just doesn't seem like it. And the girl Amber Stevens West played his wife on Happy Together, and it just seemed like it's really pleasant. I like them both. They're super likable, but for some reason I guess they just didn't do the numbers. And Tone Bell is in this show called Fam, where he's got a white wife, and his life is great, but his now wife had like an estranged relationship with her cop father and taking this. It's pretty good, but it's something that's just kind of pleasant and just kind of like I could just kind of chill. Nobody gets killed or anything like that, you know. But I don't know why I've been like that lately, but I need those shows, because it's just some of this stuff is just like it's a little too dark, you know. But
yeah, that's true.
We're going to talk about Fast Color, but since I have not talked to anybody on the podcast, what did you think of Endgame?
Oh man, I loved it, and I tempered my expectations because, you know, according to some people, we've been shitting on Marvel movies left and right on our show, so.
That's what everybody says you guys do?
Yeah, man. Like, people have been upset at us because we didn't like Captain Marvel. It was a little underwhelming. What was before that?
Was it Ant-Man and the Wasp? I think it was.
I kind of liked that, but it wasn't as good as the first one.
It was fine. Like, some of those were just fine. And I have everybody knows I have a Brie Larson agenda, so I'm going to say that I liked Captain Marvel. I thought it was fine. Like, I was just like, all right, it's fine. So
that's hilarious.
I'm admitting it. I'm not like denying it or saying anything, you know, but,
right.
You know, I know you guys, who was it, you or was it Kenny who was talking about lasers? Like, everything's like blue lasers.
Me. Yeah, I'm sick of the lasers.
Yeah, I actually got Infinity War on mute right now, just checking it out. But
yeah,
So you really like this more than a lot that you've because recently
the
seen.
The story was good. Yeah, mm-hmm. The story was excellent, man.
Yeah.
I love what they did with Tony Stark's character.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he put down, you know, just the veneer of like he's just like the coolest person ever.
Right.
And he just wanted to live.
Like, yeah.
Like, we lost, you know, the threat is gone for better or worse. And now I just want to be a person. Mm-hmm. Now I just want to be a husband and a father. And he looked like he was thriving, dog.
Yeah.
Until they came along and was like, we found a way.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, shit. Why couldn't I just be blissfully ignorant?
But he knew, I think by the time when he discovered some people say he discovered that way to do it properly, the way to time travel properly, they were saying it was too fast. But the way that I looked at it was that he'd been trying to do it for quite some time. And then we finally see him in the moment where he's like, Eureka, we figured it out.
Look, man, I just looked at it as like he's one of the most brilliant in this universe. He's one of the most brilliant people on Earth. And he seems to thrive inventing shit under pressure. I mean, that's how we meet him.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, that didn't even register for me. I was just like.
It didn't to me either.
Yeah.
He's the anchor of the fucking franchise.
Yeah, I'm like. It's not like his character hasn't invented shit within 24 hours in a life or death situation before.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is what he does.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, I just bought Iron Man, the first one, yesterday, because I just said, let me go back and just revisit just to see where it all started. Because I remember 10, 11 years ago, I remember liking it. I was like, oh, this is good. But I had no idea that we were going to get, you know, what we got, you know, last week, you know.
Oh, hell no. I didn't know this was all they were setting all of this up.
Yeah. And
I was just sitting there. I'm, you know, towards the end of the movie, they're showing Favreau. And I'm like, yo, Favreau got paid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it all started with him.
Yeah.
I'm like, yo, like,
oh shit, hold on. Sorry like, about that.
This is the story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the story. This is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yep. And he brought in all these talented people, or had a hand in bringing in all these talented people, because everyone wasn't involved.
Right.
Like, the Russo brothers came in, like, somewhere in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And he got, after Favreau, like, he recruited Main Man, who did, he was doing all the teen shit, Whedon.
Yes, yeah, the problematic
Whedon. Yeah, like, so I'm like, you know, I'm about to, you know, people gonna hop on it, but I'm about to start my Thank Favreau agenda, because, you know, he did it, man.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he was in the thick of it the whole time.
I mean, he wrote Swingers. I know Doug Liman did Swingers, directed it, but that was his baby, and I've been following him, fucking with him since, what is that, like 96, 97?
Yep. Swingers was incredible, dog.
Yeah, yeah. So that shit, that's a classic. So just see him come from that to here is just like, it's insane. And he got Lion King coming out in a couple months.
He's just talented. He's got great vision, man.
Yeah.
By the way, if anyone hasn't seen Swingers, man, like, that contains one of the all time, like, for me, one of the all time belly laughs I've ever had at a movie, when he leaves like 8 messages on the girl.
You laughed? Oh my God, my heart was in knots, dude.
Oh, dog.
I get nervous.
She finally picked up and said, don't ever, like, dog. I was crying. Everyone, you know, like, in my family, I had my door closed.
Yeah.
And, because I was in college at the time, everybody in my family was like, yo, are you all right?
Oh my God, dude.
It was probably during like finals when I was watching it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yo, this movie is insane, man. Like, I was crying laughing. I was on the floor. That scene just got me for some reason.
Yeah, that was...
Because the tension was just building and building, and she picked up the phone, dog.
Don't ever call me.
Fucking hilarious.
Ooh. That, yeah.
But you felt for him.
I felt for him, man. I'm sensitive, dude. I'm a fucking Pisces, man. I don't know. Like, it's just... It was funny. I can see the humor in it. But it was like, ugh. Dude, what the fuck are you doing? You know? That's how I kind of felt. Did you have any emotional moments watching this thing, watching Endgame at all?
Nigga, what?
Did you cry?
Yeah, I fucking cried.
What part did you cry?
A tear got away from me, dog. so it started with them circles.
Bruh. You know? Yo, if anything would have gotten, because it was like, what did he say? He's like, Steve, on your left.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. Because I was like, what the fuck else was he going to, what the fuck was Captain America going to do? He had that little chip. He had a paint chip of a shield. I was like, oh, fuck.
You know I'm about to size Mackie on our show.
Of course you are.
I got to let the fellas have it because, that voice, dog. I was like, I didn't even say the foul. I was like, Mackie.
Juilliard, man.
Coming through. I'm like, Mackie gets all the credit. But, man, like, the scale.
Yeah.
When they showed that angle, and I saw it, like, on a big-ass screen.
Okay.
I'm like, dog, like, this shit is incredible. Like, that's what people need to bring back. That's why I say people like fucking James Cameron and M. Night Shyamalan. I know people shit on him, but I love him. I just love the magic of movies. I love when a scene is just so good, like, my fucking heart swells, dog.
Yeah.
Like, that shit was incredible.
You know,
it just looked amazing.
I agree. I that part, I was talking to one of my buddies when the women showed up, all the girls like, who's gonna help her? And she's like, we'll do it, and all the female superheroes. I said, damn, I thought there were so many of them. I thought like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was gonna show up and kill off Thanos, but that was that joke didn't work. But I didn't tweet that or anything. I just thought, did I lose you?
No. I like that. I was just listening.
The joke was just that bad. The only thing I tweeted was like, I just excited to see like T'Challa take Dr. Sebi's herbs and and beat Thanos. But what I saw, like, I thought, you know, I didn't realize this, but I had bought tickets for 3D and I had to go, like, I had to drive like 20 minutes away from like two movie theaters near my place and see this movie, and it was cool, but like, you could definitely, like, 3D, I've never been really mad at it when I had to see it, like, see a Marvel movie in 3D,
right?
Like, I was just like, okay, because like, I remember the first time I saw Winter Soldier and it was in 3D, and when he it's like the scene where I guess Nick Fury takes Captain America in the like a secret room, and it's so huge, and it's like, you're talking about the scale and everything like that. I thought that was really cool. Right. That was probably my favorite scene. And that opening was pretty wild too. Like, you kind of know what's going to happen, but then you're still kind of, I don't know. I was emotionally invested in this, but especially that moment where you're just like, Thanos doesn't, 2014 Thanos doesn't even have any stones. And he's beating the shit out of all of them. He's
still kicking ass.
So like,
somebody said on Twitter, it was like, it turns out he just got hands or something. Like,
yeah,
like, he just a big nigga and he got hands. I was like, that's true.
I mean, I texted Rod and I was like, have you ever seen other than Darth Vader, have we ever seen a cinematic villain as formidable as Thanos? What do you think?
I don't have to put some real thought into that.
Yeah.
But just, you know, just on the surface, probably not.
Yeah.
Probably not. Like he was good.
Yeah.
He was good, man. Like it was obvious, like in younger Thanos was he seemed to be even more vicious.
Yeah, because he was like, you know, at first, you know, this wasn't personal. Now right. I'm just, you know, now it's over. And then what's the bar, that cold bar? He said something about your failure. You couldn't get over your failure.
You couldn't live. You just couldn't live with your failure.
And that brings you back to me.
That's the maturation of Thanos. Like he probably lost because he was a bit too arrogant.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, 5 more years of, you know, the journey of trying to get the stones and shit.
Right.
Like he probably wouldn't have lost this one either.
I mean, yeah, because go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was about to say, I just had a flashback to, I got pissed about that idiot. What's his name?
Chris Pratt, Star-Lord.
Yeah, Pratt. Oh, God. Yeah. I'm still mad about it, dog. I'm still fucking mad. He's such an idiot, man. They had it right here.
Yeah. Now, I guess, let me ask you this. So what do you think? Damn, you made me think of something else. Do you think that, God, where was I going to go with that? I'm sorry. I just felt like, I mean, he was just, you kind of had to feel, I kind of felt like they were going to win, but it was so compelling that I was like, maybe they won't, you know, maybe this doesn't work. But, you know, like when Doctor Strange looks at Tony,
this is the moment.
He's like, this is it. And he's like, I knew. But then I would also, what was the movie where, was it the Avengers where Tony was gonna, he flew himself up in the middle of that spaceship and he blew it up. We thought he was dead, but then he just like, was that the first Avengers movie?
I think so. Yeah.
Cause he was willing to sacrifice himself.
That sounds awfully familiar, but yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I would have to go back, but I remember that like the Christ-like thing or a savior complex because he knew he kind of fucked up. But I think he was ready to go. Like I watched it twice and I did have one sleep, not because of the movie, it's because I had some chicken wings before.
The itis. Yeah.
I went to Hooters.
I was about to say it had to be food.
Yeah it was food. And I was up at like 4:30 that morning. And so.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, because I watched it again the next day and I was like, oh, I missed the part where Black Widow got Clint, and I missed them actually going through everything going through all the expository shit about the fucking stones. I was like, damn.
You wasn't prepped at all the first time, huh?
I mean, I knew they was going. I mean, it was easy to catch up with, but I was like, fuck, I missed a lot.
Yeah.
It wasn't the movie. It was just me. It was just fucking chicken wings.
I just appreciated how they turned, for the most part, each character inside out. And it's like you got everything you weren't expecting from the character. Like Thor becoming like a slob was hilarious.
I felt seen when I saw Fat Thor. I felt.
Yeah. And then Clint like just going ape shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that was crazy. And then fucking Banner. He's just living as the Hulk.
Yeah.
That was hilarious to me, man.
He had like this.
So I like each character's journey in this one.
Yeah. I call him like Flowers for Algernon Hulk. Do you remember that book growing up?
Nah.
Oh, shit. Somebody will remember it and tweet me. Like, I'm sure
it was funny, though.
It's like this dude. I think this dude had a learning disability and they did this test on him and then he was smart and then he was like really super smart. And then it got taken away. I don't know. I have to remember, but it just reminded me of that. Thanos beat his ass so bad that motherfucker.
He really did.
That motherfucker went to school. Like he just turned his life. just I was just like, God, I'm so impressed by this, by Thanos, like just as a villain. I mean, just as a character in general, like I almost want to read these comic books. You have to go. We set this whole thing up to talk about Fast Color. I want to get your
thoughts. Yeah, I got like 20 minutes.
Okay. I want to get your thoughts on this. The Gugu and Botha Raw. I usually read the little blurb. Where the fuck is it? I had it. I'll just read the little blurb and then let you go off and we'll shoot the shit on it. All right. So I usually read the Google blurbs for these movies. So all here right, we go. Hunted by a mysterious fort. Oh shit. I always fuck up too. so I owe Navian a lot of money to not be fucking this shit up. All right. Hunted by mysterious forces, a young woman who has supernatural abilities must go on the run when her powers are discovered. With nowhere else to go, she flees back to her family and the farmhouse she abandoned long ago. There, while being pursued by the local sheriff, she begins to mend the broken relationships with her mother and daughter and learns the power she needed was inside her all along. Spoiler alert. Directed by Julia Hart and written by Julia Hart and her husband, Jordan Horowitz, who was involved in La La Land. So what do you think, Bob? What do you think about this movie? Like, overall thoughts, and if we want to break some stuff down, we can.
Man, I thought it was a great idea and a great attempt.
Mm-hmm.
It fell a bit short. Mm. Quite a bit short, honestly. No fault of Gugu. Like, she's always good.
Yeah.
They even had my dog, I think it's David Strathairn.
Yeah, yeah.
Mr. Theron. I always like him. He's really good. And the woman who played Gugu's mom, like, I like her too. So it wasn't a matter of the cast.
Right.
I had some problems with the effects, just the visualization of the powers.
Sure.
You know, just the manifestations of them. I didn't like the way it was visualized. It was kind of cheesy, especially her ultimate power. Like, I'll get to that. Like, mm-hmm. I texted you from the theater. I was like, yo, like, this kind of crazy.
Yeah.
So I had a problem with that again. Like, you know, that movie magic shit. I love that. And when people fall short of it, it's just like, ugh, like, it's not going to work because, you know, you talk this up. And now that people are exhibiting these powers, it's kind of lackluster.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and that could have just been budgetary issues.
I think it was.
Yeah, it don't look like they spent a lot.
I was trying to find how much it was, and I couldn't find what their budget was. It seemed like there's a writer, Karen Hahn from Polygon, that compared it to this movie called Midnight Special. I wanted to rewatch it before we talked, but I didn't get a chance to rewatch, and I think I might have gotten asleep when I saw that one like a couple years back.
Yeah,
but they had that movie had 18 million.
Yeah,
and I know that they didn't have this much for this. You know,
true, and it's not fair to this one because Midnight Special had the which I always kind of say is like a stimulus package for a film.
Okay.
Because the story is like someone's being chased.
Right.
Like, so there's no real downtime.
That's
like,
true.
It's a race. It's a, like, they have to get to this place at this certain time and they're being chased.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty much the plot of Midnight Special.
Yeah.
So the pacing and the tension in the movie, you can't fuck that up as a filmmaker.
Right.
Unless you write a motherfucking 5-page scene where people are just talking. And they didn't do that. So that movie was great. In this one, like, she's trying to repair the relationship with her mom, like, on the fly and shit. So it was a lot of downtime, dog.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there like, yo, like, where's the dude chasing her? Like, pick this shit up.
Yeah.
Like, you already pretty much gave us, like, that could have been wrapped up. Like, her fallout with her mom, that could have been wrapped up quick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, could have been more like show of powers, you know, somewhere in there. But again, that could be a budget issue, because I wanted to see the powers on a larger scale.
Right.
They were like, you know, flipping bowls and shit. I'm like, hey, I'm like, that ain't shit.
Yeah. Like,
that ain't gonna scare nobody.
You ain't really, you're not saying anything wrong. I was hoping for a lot more, because I was disappointed in the fact that they pushed this back and it comes out a week before the Avengers and you're not really giving it a chance. And you can't just say that, oh, it's three black women in a generation and their superpowers. But I did kind of feel the time. I felt like it's only an hour and 40 minutes, but I did. Some people walked out. And
some people overplay their hand with, you know, black people wanting to see black people on screen.
That's
so
true.
Yeah. The marketing with this shit was, yeah, black women got superpowers, y'all. Word of mouth is a real thing.
Yeah.
And I bet the phrase some bullshit was thrown about in black households about this movie left and right. It's some bullshit.
But do you think that people even knew about it? I mean, people like us that are on Twitter and on social media, they might know, but I don't know. Like, is your coworker going to know about it?
Yeah. I think there's, you know, there are those black people who always see some shit like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think a lot of black people depend on them. Like, yo, like, there's that movie. Did you see that? Because I get that all the time. Because my friends and family know I see every fucking thing.
Right.
And, yeah, I told them some bullshit.
Yeah, I don't want to give it some bullshit, but I just want to, I'm just saying, like, I'm just disappointed. Like, to have that talent, you have Gugu Mbatha-Raw, you have Lorraine Toussaint as basically your leads. And it's just like, you don't really, you don't give them, it's just too, I think you're right. I just think the pacing's wasn't that great.
I wanted to see them use their powers together. Like, as a big show of force.
Yeah.
They didn't even get that right. I thought I was going to get that at the end. They didn't even do that, really.
I thought little Shorty
was going to come out the police station like, yeah, I got powers too. I'm about to fuck y'all up. Nope.
The only thing she did was she disintegrated those metals to steal them out of the store and to fix the truck. I think that's like one of the only, and then the bowl thing. So it's kind of like, okay.
So Chris, let me ask you this.
All right.
So in the, you know, climactic scene, you know, mama got a chance to fuck people up. These white men who were chasing her daughter. Do you think in those meetings that initially those white men were getting fucked up and somebody was just like, yeah, we can't have black women murdering
white dudes.
Cause It seems like they can take apart and reconfigure any material in the fucking universe.
Yeah.
I thought she was about to just split those dudes, just rip apart their atoms and make furniture out of them. She didn't do that, and I was disappointed.
Yeah, it didn't, like, I didn't think she was going to do that, but I know what you mean. Then you got to realize, you know, who wrote it. It's a white.
Did you think did you think she would hurt him though?
I thought that would be
violent.
She just had to show, like, I'm gonna fuck y'all up if you don't let her out.
Then she basically said, yeah, y'all can study me.
Yeah, that it's kind of.
Hey, dog. I was not feeling that, dog.
Yeah, and then it's just.
I was not feeling that one. That one got me. I said, study her.
It's weird because it's like, it's evocative of so many interesting and positive things. But then the outcome, like I thought of like Children of Men, like by like a black woman being the person that holds the key of like bringing life into right. a world that's like desolate and all this shit. And then you got like superhuman power. There could be others, like there could be an extension of this film, you know, and it just. You got the obviously the aesthetically the black women doing this shit. My thing, what I was wanted to ask you, like David Strathairn, yeah, okay, he's Ruth's father. Yeah, it's almost like you have to have these white people in it. Like, yeah, she's light skinned, but they could have got Harry Lennox to be her dad. He could have been a cop.
Yeah, it wouldn't have made any difference who her dad was. Definitely not.
It was just like you gotta have like these white dudes around.
Yeah.
And it was just kinda
just like to take the edge off or something.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you already got three black women with powers.
Right.
Like we gotta, you know, that's threatening.
Mm-hmm.
We gotta, you know, let the audience know like they don't hate white people.
Right.
So it was kind of that underlying message, but
it's like about who wrote it. And it's like when you cast Gugu, you still have, and you just put these people around her that are black. It's just like, okay, but then you got to think about other things. It can't just be, I mean, she did the best she could and I didn't have a problem with the acting. It was just like, the more you make me think about it, it was just kind of, it's like, damn. I thought about how much money I paid to park and go into the city. I was like, God.
Hey, dog, like, no bullshit. Her mom went out like motherfucking. She was like Sarah Bartman with powers, dog.
Sarah Bartman, what's that?
She was Sarah Bartman. She's like the African slave with the big butt that they studied.
Okay, like the Venus, like, and then Susan Lloyd Parks did that play Venus. Okay, yeah, okay, gotcha.
She was just like, yeah, I'm this exotic thing. Y'all want to study me. Cool. I was like, hold the fuck up. Like, y'all got incredible powers. What you just disintegrated guns. What you mean y'all can study? Like, yeah.
So she's dead, basically, right?
No, I don't think she's dead.
She's going to be.
Maybe. It depends on what they do. I don't know. They're going to probe the shit out of it. See, that whole line of thinking, I didn't even get that far in my thought process because we know what the fuck study means.
Well, you just made me think about that when you brought it up. So it was just like, I'm thinking like, oh, yeah, she's fucking dead then.
Yeah, I just kind of dismissed it like, oh, you know, they're going to pick her fucking brain apart. They're going to have her sitting in chairs with wires strapped to her and shit and showing her all these different visuals, trying to get, you know, just a stimulus. Like, I didn't like that, man.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. I was like, you built up all this black girl power shit for that.
Yeah.
No. That was a misfire. I was like, of all the shit that went wrong in this film to end it on that, I don't give a fuck if she is sacrificing for her daughter. Like, nah. Gugu got power to rip apart the sky. I just couldn't understand, like,
yeah,
why she would give in. Like, they seem so much, they seem like gods on earth. And like, they giving in to the white man? That sounds real militant right now.
Dude, man, see, normally it's me that thinks of this shit. I knew that I wanted to ask you about David Strathairn, and this doesn't work. Have you seen that movie Sound of My Voice? Came out.
No, I don't think so.
It's what, have you seen that, heard of that show on Netflix called The OA?
Yes.
If you've seen that, the girl in that, Britt Marling, plays this woman like that claims to be the head of a cult. And
I've seen it.
Okay. Like, I like that movie. It made me think of that.
It was something like East West in that movie, wasn't it?
I like that movie too, but you're thinking about the East, where that's by the same people that did the OA.
I think I saw it though, because I like Britt too. Like,
me too. Yeah.
She does like really unique work.
Right.
Like, you know, and I've watched a couple of interviews with her, like, that, you know, they try to make her a star and she's just like, I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
you know, she wants to do what she wants to do, and she wants to work with her fucking friends from Georgetown or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they have this whole like, yeah, so you're familiar. They have this whole like clique. Like, they like working together. But yeah, she was like, I've gotten offers to, you know, be A-list, like to be a star, and she's like, I'm not into it.
Yeah.
So I like her choices.
Cause I like how they kind of fuck with you, like with the sound of my voice, like at, by the end of that movie. And I do recommend, I think maybe, what was that? Like, was that 2010? I'm going to look it up. I own it on Blu-ray, but I remember that was one to find. That was hard to see, at least in New York. It just wasn't in theaters that long, but that was one where it was just like, Jesus, like, that was an indie film. I don't know that they had that much money. This was 2011. But by the end of it, you're like, fuck, what's really good with this? Like, is she or isn't she? You know, like, there's like one side that says like she is this leader, and the other side is like, it's all fucking bullshit. I was just disappointed in this one, man. Like, I just wanted so much more, because I was, other than Endgame, I was pretty excited for this. And I was willing to go anywhere to fucking see it if it was playing in a 2-hour radius. And just to get there and to be like, you have these good actors and you don't really use them right. It's just kind of like, fuck.
It was disappointing, man.
And
to
then,
say the least.
And one, but I still might buy it on Blu-ray because of Google. I might have to buy it and be like, it's not so bad. Let me ask you this one more thing and we'll wrap this up. I don't know if it's just me. It's not just me, because I heard Eric Griffin talking about, comedian Eric Griffin talk about this, mm-hmm. like just like randomly.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, like how he was saying something about these movies, like what's my girl from The Hate U Give, pretty girl, young girl, Amanda Stenberg. How like mm-hmm. these movies, like some of these actresses, women of color, like black women. Like, they'll do mm-hmm. these movies, but it's like a white dude is always their love interest. Do you ever notice that?
Yeah, I've noticed it. Stenberg, I mean, I brought it up.
Okay.
Stenberg's definitely, she's on a streak.
Yeah.
I'll just put it that way. It is what it is for right now.
Yeah.
And I just kind of leave it at that. I mean,
Cause Shorty from at least old girl from Blackish, what's her name? She's on Grownish now.
Oh yeah. What
the fuck
Yara,
is wrong?
Shahidi.
Yara. She's doing a movie, but her love interest is an Asian dude.
Asian dude. Yeah, I saw the trailer for that.
And I'll go see that, you know. But why is it so hard for them to put young black people together? Like, I don't really notice that. I mean, The Hate U Give, she kind of had a crush on the guy, but then they killed him. You know,
it's been that way since I've been going to movies. It's just what it is. I remember the big deal that was made about Hitch.
Yeah.
You know what the fuck it is? Like, Will Smith was like, yo, like, she can't be white, so you can get me as close to black as we can. And they, you know, they came up with Eva Mendes, and it was great.
Yeah.
It was a good movie, but a lot of black people were still upset.
I was kind of psyched when he did that movie with that bad chick, I, Tonya. What's her name? What's that movie?
Something about race cars and shit.
Yeah.
I know who you're talking about. The Australian chick.
Yeah. I was
not a bad movie, but damn, yeah, black women weren't going to see that shit.
Fucking hated that movie. I thought it was
right. Oh, you didn't like it?
I liked it. No, people hated that shit.
Yeah, black women ain't going to see that shit. I saw that, man, because they replaced, it was going to be Kristen Stewart.
Really?
Ugh. Yeah, it was.
What? Focus.
Yeah.
Kristen Stewart?
Yep.
She just seems, I like her, but she just kind of seems like bored all the time.
Oh, she definitely, she has there's a box where she fits. Right. I'll put it that way. I've always likened her to, because male actors get this pass all the time. Like Christopher Walken, he can't do everything, man.
No. so he do one thing. Now he could do Christopher Walken.
And Kristen Stewart can do Kristen Stewart. So I'm like, y'all need to leave her the fuck alone. She a pretty good actress.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like she's never gonna like perk up to do a romantic comedy. She's not a chameleon.
Yeah.
But she does carry like a really like quiet intensity about her. And for me, like that's cool. Like she's good.
Yeah, I liked Personal Shopper. I thought that was interesting. Was really good. That was kind of fucked up. And then that movie she did before, The Clouds of Sils Marie, with the same director.
Yeah.
That was kind of fucked up too. Well, we gotta get you out of here, man. Dude, thanks so much for doing this. Plug your show and anything else you want to plug.
Yeah. So we do the Hot Firestarter podcast. Comes out every Thursday. Available on all platforms. Whatever. iTunes, Stitcher, all that crap. Podomatic. And you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Hot Firestarter. That's fire with a Y. And you can find our third member, Kenny, at K Bads, K A B D D S. I always get that wrong. So he always makes fun of me. I mean, I'm like K A D D D D S. But so follow K Bads and we always on there talking shit.
Yeah.
Mostly I'm having a fit about sports. So if you see anybody, you know, saying Kyrie Irving the best motherfucker in the world, that's usually me.
He's balling out on Sunday.
Oh, nigga, I have a fit when like I can take Steph better than him. I'm like, yeah, okay, you know.
No.
Kemba Walker. That's usually me, like, motherfucker, Kemba Walker. That's usually me. I'm having a fit, dog.
It's getting good this time, second round. So I can't wait to hear you guys talk about it.
Oh yeah, the men are definitely being separated from the boys.
Yeah,
yeah. This is my favorite time of season because I love to see people's narrative change. I love to see people's legacy get fucking switched. And people like, oh, maybe he was some shit after all. Like, he not that good. And I'm like, yeah, he not that good.
I was expecting y'all to go in more on Russ last week. It was kind of tame.
Yeah, I jumped off the Russ bandwagon a while ago, dog. So
my mom doesn't even like him. She's like, he seems mean. He you can't get along. Like, he's hard to get along with, I guess. I guess that's what she meant. I don't know.
He's not likable. I'll put it like that.
Yeah. See why KD left.
Pretty much. See how shit changes? Like, people were shitting on KD. Now people are like, I see now. I get it.
Did we talk about this when I was on? It just seemed like Paul George it was a basketball question I didn't get to ask you guys. But
Paul George just wanted his money. Paul George would have played with fucking Darth Vader. Yeah. He wanted his money. He don't care. He got like three kids.
By strippers? Oh, well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Okay.
He don't care, man. He was not tripping.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, y'all can pay me the most? Cool.
How far is he in?
I think he has a 4-year deal.
Ooh.
So this is the first year of the 4 years.
Jesus. Well, he's stuck.
Only three more to go with Russ.
Ooh.
Ugh. But yeah. I gotta go, bro.
Yeah, do your thing, man. Be a dad. Be a good black dad.
This was fun.
Yeah, we definitely want to have you back on, man.
Yeah, anytime. We'll work it out.
All right. Take it easy, everybody.
All right, take care.
All right.
Later. Bye, y'all.